Our scripture reading tonight in the book of Zechariah is chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Zechariah chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Let's stand together that we might honor the reading of God's word. And we invite you, even if you're at home watching in, just stand where you are and honor the word of God. Zechariah chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Then I lifted up my eyes again and looked, and behold, there was a flying scroll. And he said to me, "What do you see?" And I answered, "I see a flying scroll. Its length is 20 cubits and its width 10 cubits. Then he said to me, "This is the curse that is going forth over the face of the whole land. Surely everyone who steals will be purged away according to the writing on one side. And everyone who swears will be purged away according to the writing on the other side. I will make it go forth, declares the Lord of hosts, and it will enter the house of the thief and the house of the one who swears falsely by my name. And it will spend the night within that house and consume it with its timber and stones." Now, Holy Spirit, instruct us in the truths of this section of your word tonight, that we might get a good sense of what Zechariah saw in his vision and what he intended for us when he wrote this. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're up to vision number 6 for Zechariah on this one night. And just to recall something of the first 5 visions. The first 5 visions, and I hope you've observed this as we've moved through them, the first 5 visions are all very positive for Israel. In the first vision, chapter 1, verses 7 through 17, the Lord returned Israel to her land after the Babylonian captivity. Israel's return to the land, and the Lord will prosper Israel in the land. Vision number 2, chapter 1, verses 18 through 21, the 4 horns and the 4 craftsmen. The Lord will crush all of the enemies of Israel. Vision number 3, in chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, the Lord will make Jerusalem his blessed capital of Israel and of the whole world. And of course, we saw from that will ultimately be fulfilled in the millennial kingdom. But Jerusalem, the Lord's capital of the whole world. Then chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, is vision number 4. The Lord judicially cleansed the high priest, Joshua, as well as Jerusalem and Israel, removing the filthy garments from the high priest. And vision number 5, we saw last time in chapter 4, the golden lampstand and the olive trees. The Lord guaranteed that the temple in Jerusalem would be rebuilt and Israel would be a shining light to the world. All of those 5 visions give very positive promises to Israel in her history and also, we would say, in Israel's future, even still. There are 3 more visions to go, and we come to vision number 6 tonight. And the remaining 3 visions are different than the first 5. The remaining 3 visions are not about positive things for Israel. They are about sin. They're about sin and judgment. And the point in these last 3 visions is, yes, God has a plan for Israel, and God will prosper Israel, but God will prosper Israel as a cleansed people. God does not prosper sin. He will prosper Israel as a cleansed people, and therefore some things will have to be weeded out of Israel in order for the blessings that God has promised to come upon her. So that brings us to vision number 6, and it's a short one in these first 4 verses of chapter 5. It's a vision of a scroll, and we have to realize that while in the vision, the scroll is not the Bible. It's a scroll on which a curse is written. It's not merely the Bible, but what is on this scroll, even though it's a curse and a declaration of judgment, it is from God. So it is, in that sense, a word from God, even though it's not the Bible, but it is included here in the Bible. So we see it there, and this scroll should remind us of our relationship with the Scriptures. So, what did Zechariah see? And verse 1 says, Zechariah lifted up his eyes and looked. Zechariah saw something, and this is being revealed to him again from the Lord, possibly through the interpreting angel that had been speaking with Zechariah through all of these visions so far. But he lifted up his eyes and looked. Now, we won't make too much out of that point tonight, except just ask, aren't there people who never lift up their eyes and never look? Say, well, the answer to what you're facing is in your Bible. Why don't you look there? Oh, but they never look. And then they complain why they don't have the answers. Is it because God didn't give you the answer? No, God gave you the answer and you never cared enough to look at it. So, Zechariah, let's give him some credit here tonight. Zechariah looked in his vision to see what this was. Well, what did Zechariah see? He saw a scroll, the Word of God. And as we look through this, the scroll Zechariah saw, you know, when you think of the word scroll, don't you usually think of something that's kind of rolled up? Well, that's not what he saw, is it? He didn't see something rolled up. He saw something huge, and it was open, and it had writing on both sides. So this is an open scroll, not a rolled scroll. But what does he see? He sees a flying scroll. Yeah. Coming out of heaven, a flying scroll. This is something that the kids would love to see in a cartoon, you know. A flying scroll comes down. It's sent from God. It's not limited. It's moving. It's flying. It can go wherever God sends us. And it is a word from God, a flying scroll. So he saw a flying scroll, verses 1 and 2. Now, this scroll is not only a flying scroll, it is, number 2, a measured scroll. The end of verse 2, its length is 20 cubits, approximately 30 feet, and its width is 10 cubits, approximately 15 feet. Now, 30 feet by 15 feet, that's a good size scroll, isn't it? That's probably just short of half of this room this way. A little less than that. A scroll. And it's measured. Why does it need to be measured? Well, this indicates, remember, Zechariah had seen in two of his visions a measuring line. In one of them, he saw a man with a measuring line. Well, this is measured as well because God measures and weighs the affairs of people. It's judgment. It's judgment. And it's flat, it's not rolled, and it has the writing on both sides. So if you write on both sides, and especially if you would write pretty small, you could get a lot of data on two sides of a 30-foot by 15-foot scroll, couldn't you? So this is what he sees flying, coming out of heaven. Thirdly, in verse 3, Zechariah saw that this scroll is a judgment curse scroll. Verse 3, the interpreting angel said to Zechariah, "This is the curse." What is this scroll? It is the curse that is going forth over the face of the whole land. It's a flying curse over the entire land of Israel, over the whole region. It's a curse scroll. And in verse 3, there is judgment pronounced in this curse on the sin of stealing. Verse 3, "Surely everyone who steals will be purged away according to the writing on one side." So what's on one side of this 30-foot by 15-foot scroll? Pronouncements of a curse against stealing, against thieves. Now, we don't know what was written there, what Zechariah saw there, but it might be a pretty good guess to suggest that what was written on that one side was a list of all of the stolen items and the people who stole them. Maybe those people thought they got away with it. But it's recorded here. So, judgment on the sin of stealing. And notice in verse 3 it says, "Everyone who steals will be purged away." We'll come back to that, but that means they are going to be taken out of the nation. They are not going to be permitted to continue as part of Israel. It could mean that they're killed. They're taken out because of this. So one side of the scroll is a curse, a judgment on the sin of stealing. The other side, the rest of verse 3, is on judgment on the sin of swearing. Everyone who swears will be purged away according to the writing on the other side. So, all of those will be purged away, taken out of Israel. This sin of swearing is amplified in verse 4, when it says, the one who swears falsely by my name. This sin of swearing is not just saying bad words or the words that you shouldn't say, and you still shouldn't say them. But this sin of swearing involves two of the Ten Commandments. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, you read, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain." Now, that is included in swearing, taking the name of the Lord in vain, which is not just saying certain words. It is profaning God himself. And in Exodus 20, verse 16, you read, "You shall not bear false witness," or King James says, "swear falsely against your neighbor." So what is this sin of swearing? It is telling lies in the name of God. Telling lies in the name of God. Which, by the way, all cults and false religions do. They tell lies in the name of God. They say, this is what God is about. This is what God says. But they're not teaching the truth of the Word of God. They're teaching false religion. They're lying. So it includes that. This is lying. This is misusing the name of God, perhaps even to lie. So the curse on these sins is a curse that's on all kinds of things that are in the law of Moses. Exodus chapter 20, verse 15, concerning the sin of stealing, says, "You shall not steal." So you say, well, okay. Well, how about Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, where the Lord says to Israel, "You have stolen from me. You're a bunch of thieves. You've stolen from me." And they say, well, how did we ever steal from you? And what's the answer? They withheld their tithes and their offerings. And God called that stealing from him. The sin of stealing, the sin of swearing, including lying and falsehood. These people must be purged out of Israel before the Lord will bless Israel. Now, this is law. Doesn't work exactly the same way today, but it's how it worked for Israel. Zechariah saw, number four, the end of verse 3 and into verse 4, that this scroll is a consuming scroll. The individuals, and we've seen this in verse 3, will be purged away. They will be cleaned out. Say, well, that happened in Israel. And by the way, could some of those people who were purged away, killed, have been believers who would still have gone to paradise? Yes. You have in the church age an example of that in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, who lied to the Holy Spirit. And what did the Lord do? He took them out, didn't he? He took them out. He said, I'm not going to grow and prosper a church that is going to include this. And he took them out. Well, that's what is happening in Israel as well. He took them out. If they're unbelievers, he would take them out to hell. And if they're believers, he still will take them out, because he will not have stealing and lying in his people. He just will not. So they'll be purged away. Now verse 4 gives this in a very graphic, picturesque way. The scroll in verse 4 will enter people's houses. We could say this, the word of God, the word of God's judgment will enter people's houses. He sees it. It will enter the house of the thief and the house of the one who swears falsely by my name. Well, when it enters, what will it do? It will spend the night within that house. I want to tell you, that would be a miserable night for those people. You say, well, yeah, God gave his law, but I can break the law. Well, okay, but do you know what? The law can break you. This scroll hangs out over their heads in their own house, and they know that the curse of judgment is upon them. They have less than a night left to confess their sin and get this forgiven and cleared up. And if they don't, what will happen? The scroll will consume their house with its timber and stones. Your household will be destroyed. You say, well, why? Because that is a judgment of God against stealing and lying. The judgment of God. Those who persist in stealing, swearing against God, lying, the word enters their home and consumes it. Yes, they break the law of God, but the law of God breaks them. Now, was grace just as real and available then as it is now? Yes. These people could have been spared by the grace of God. But they had to admit it, confess it, claim the forgiveness of God, not be covering it up. And if they would have admitted it, they would have been forgiven and cleansed, just like we are. Just like we are. But these people weren't. These people were like Ananias and Sapphira. They're not going to admit it. And so the Lord says, this scroll comes in your house and it's going to take your house down. Sometimes believers ask, well, why is it that my family is falling apart? Why is it that my children don't honor and serve the Lord? Oh, well, maybe there's something you ought to look at about yourself before you start blaming God, blaming the church, blaming somebody else. Maybe God is taking your family down. Maybe God is destroying your house. Maybe God is destroying your personal economy, your bank account. Maybe God is. Why? Because you're a lawbreaker and you won't even admit it? Cleansing must come in order for all of these great things about the rebuilding of the temple and Jerusalem being the capital of the world. Cleansing must come to Israel before Israel will experience those great things. That's why across Israel tonight, and we love and we pray for Israel, and yet the world denies that Jerusalem is even the capital of Israel, let alone the capital of the world. To the world, New York City is the capital of the world. That's where the United Nations headquarters is. So New York City must be the capital of planet Earth, right? Well, the Lord says it's Jerusalem. But Jerusalem isn't experiencing that tonight because Jerusalem is cram-jammed with sin. And there will have to be a purging before that happens in Israel. And you know what that purging is called in your Bible? The tribulation. One of the purposes of the tribulation period is to purge Israel so that only true Israel will be left by the end. The Lord will take all the rest of them out and they won't be part of it. That's why Romans 11 can say that by the end of the tribulation period, and so all Israel will be saved. That's not all Israel in all of history. That's all Israel at the end of the tribulation period will be saved. Because the Lord will purge the rest. They will not be there. And so the principle that we see is cleansing precedes the outpouring of these things and the answers to prayer that are happening here. These good things for Israel come as a result of God's cleansing. Now, believers have all the blessings of heaven already. And they won't be taken away from you, but your physical life could be cut short. So when we sin, we confess our sin, and God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Heavenly Father, may your people tonight be found forgiven and cleansed. May there be no hidden sin, no inward corruption. Lord, may your cleansing be real. And Lord, may we see in these days an outpouring of your grace, your salvation, your Holy Spirit in this, the end of the end of the end of the age. Lord, may we see it. May many be born again. May your church be a brilliant testimony. Lord, tonight we do pray for Israel. We pray, Father, for the peace of Jerusalem. And we thank you, Lord, for your promise that all of us who believe in and pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that you will prosper us. And so, Lord, we claim that tonight also. But Lord, may your cleansing be upon Israel. May there be men and women, boys and girls coming to faith in Jesus as their Messiah. And Lord, may those who trust in Messiah be taken out of the tribulation and not face that time of purging that will come upon Israel. So Lord, we do pray tonight, as your word says, that all Israel will be saved. Thank you now, Father, for your word. And while this section is a bit more grim than the positive encouragements of the previous visions, yet, Lord, we realize that it is necessary. And so, Spirit of God, take of this and apply to each one tonight what is needful from this passage, that our cleansing might occur, and, Lord, that you and you alone would be honored, magnified, glorified, worshiped among your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.